Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Time to give away, or the give the chance to give away, $1,000 in the national contest. All you have to do is get this code word and text it. What's that code word? Garden. G-A-R-D-E-N. Garden. Text it to 72881 or go to entercomcontest.com and enter the code word GARDEN by the end of the hour. Do not text and drive. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from Cleveland Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. That word again, GARDEN.
And you got to listen. Weekdays, 840, 1040, 440. Your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Progressive Cleveland Boat Show. January 17th through the 21st at the IX Center. For more info, visit them online at clevelandboatshow.com. It's the Progressive Cleveland Boat Show, and it's all from Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
We got Jonathan Wells in here. Hello, Jonathan.
Good morning, my friends. How y'all doing?
It's wonderful to see you. You've been all over the place.
I have. Had a pretty exciting couple of weeks.
My God in heaven. You've been all over the country. It's wonderful to have you in here. And we have found, well, we think we found a new head coach.
We think?
Well, it hasn't been made public yet. Or
official.
Official.
Yeah.
It's been made public, but it hasn't been made official. Thank you.
That's
they haven't made it official yet.
That's interesting.
Which I guess the Jets have technically not made it official with Adam Gase either.
Yeah, it's up. Maybe all these teams are doing the they're doing the Josh McDaniels making sure that something doesn't go haywire on their coaching decision. That was an all-timer. Well, if his mentor Bill Belichick hadn't done the exact same thing,
you got to check about. You got to check on that type of thing. Yeah, you're right about that. You got to check on that type of thing. But it seems that Freddie Kitchens is the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. What do you think, Jonathan? Were you excited about this choice?
I wasn't mad. You know, I told everybody, you know, I thought Greg Williams did enough to keep the job, in my opinion. He was the one who had to step up in front of the team after, you know, the debacle in the middle of the season. And I feel he's personally responsible for changing the culture for the Browns. You know, so I thought that he had a shot. I thought he should have a shot to keep the job. But if you didn't go that route, I was happy with them not blowing up the whole system and staying with somebody in the building. So I'm comfortable with John Dorsey's decision here with Freddie Kitchens. He's the person who spends the most time with Baker Mayfield every day, all day. So I'm comfortable with the decision. So I'm not mad about it.
That changing the culture thing is very interesting to me, because I would say that Baker was the one that did it, but fine. I can't begrudge. Certainly those players, they talked about how their practices were different under Greg Williams. They talked about how their discipline was different.
Yeah.
So if all that stuff changed, what happens if maybe Freddie Kitchens isn't that kind of guy, isn't the exact same kind of guy? Are you telling me that that stuff goes away? Because, you know, a lot of those guys on the team this year will be on the team next year. They know what worked for them. They know the formula. So how does that culture change from year to year depending on a coach?
I mean, you know, it's very difficult. But at the same time, like I said, I'm comfortable because this guy spent plenty of time with Baker. He's personally responsible for Baker's growth, I will say that. But if it was just on Baker, Baker would have did it before he took over, if it was just on Baker. So that's why I have to give Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens some of the credit. I can't just say it was Baker, because if it was just Baker, he would have came out there lights out from the beginning of the season, and we wouldn't have had that stall out that we had in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
So changing coaches, changing the culture, changing the direction of the offense definitely helped Baker as well, so I can't give him all the credit.
All right, you were a Greg Williams guy, and I want to get to the John Dorsey power thing here in a moment with Lima, and you obviously, Jonathan. But I want to know what you think about Greg Williams not being retained, because I thought it's going to be difficult. It would be a natural problem if you have Greg Williams there as an assistant again, because I only think naturally Greg's going to go, I probably wouldn't have done it that way.
That wasn't going to happen.
you're competitive. And you've been in a locker room. I don't know if that situation's ever happened to you, but
I'm not going to step up, take over the team, change the culture, win 5 out of 8 games, and then you come back and ask me to step down for somebody else who's on the same staff.
Yeah.
Never going to happen. In what world would that happen?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
I know to a lot of us, it's like, oh, well, he's a great defensive coordinator. You got to keep him. Like, no, you
don't
just
work like
can't.
You had to choose one or the other.
It's not fair to him, and it's really not fair to Freddie, and it's certainly not fair to the Browns or to Browns fans, because I think it could affect winning overtime, couldn't it?
I understand the pick because, like you say, this guy's younger. He's the one that's going to – the most valuable piece of this organization is obviously Baker Mayfield. So if you got an offensive guy, which everybody wants the offensive coordinators lately, so if that's what you're going with, then I understand why you would pick Freddie Kitchens over Greg Williams, because it's a long-term situation that you hope works out. It's been great in 8 games, but now, you know, we're going to finally see, is he going to call the plays? All this stuff that you guys were talking about on my way in, is he going to call the plays? Is he going to hand that over to somebody now? So, you know, it's a lot of decisions that have to be made to see how this transition works.
I wonder if Freddie would have even retained him. Like, forget about being threatened or having people, you know, talk behind your back.
I wouldn't have. It's uncomfortable.
No, I'm not even saying that. Fine. I get all that. I'm talking about, was Greg Williams' defense good enough to be retained?
I think it was. I absolutely.
Yes. They're ranked 28th, by the way.
Okay, look at the numbers and all of that stuff, but let's talk about, you know, the first 8 games of the season before they were riddled with injuries all throughout the secondary. They lost to Schobert for 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, they got torched by Deshaun Watson, who couldn't do anything last week against Indianapolis.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, we get that.
First half against Lamar Jackson was an embarrassment,
still,
how many yards they gave up on the ground.
I still wonder about the two things at once, and that's why I worry about Freddie.
Exactly.
Where you want him to call plays and be the head coach.
But
it's like, well, with Greg,
but think
there
about
was
this.
Something that missed there.
Greg wasn't
defense.
Calling the plays, though. His son was calling the plays the last 6 weeks. That's what the word was, that his son was – Blake Williams was calling the defense for the last 6 weeks.
And that
so
is
he's,
an alarming
he's,
thing.
He stepped into a true head coaching role where he was the overseer. He was the direction of the program, which is what I love. People hate Greg Williams. I don't know why. In a violent sport like football, I want a killer as a head coach.
That's who I want to look up to.
I don't want a soft, nice guy. That's why they ran Hugh out of town. If you went to the complete opposite, you saw the discipline change overnight. You saw things that they were doing before, they just stopped doing it overnight, it seems, after Hugh left. So if that's what you were looking for, you had a great guy in place. But once again, I'm not going to beat them up over it. As long as they didn't go out and just blow up everything that they had already built, I'm cool with it.
Jonathan Wells, join us in studio. Okay, so this play calling thing, Ken and I have talked about it. Ken had said like a week ago, man, if they hire Freddie Kitchens as head coach, I'm all for it, but I think having him call the plays would be a little too much as somebody who'd never even been a coordinator, a full-time coordinator before. What do you think? If you hired Freddie Kitchens, doesn't he have to call the plays, or do you think that's too much on his plate?
I think he has to call the plays. I think that's the number one reason why you hired the guy. So I think just to bring him in as a head coach now and then tell him, hey, we go give the play-calling job to somebody else, which is something that he's been known to do well with Baker in the 8 games, I don't see how you bring him in and not allow him to call plays. I just don't.
And it just makes me worried, Jonathan, because I just know it's the first thing. I like Freddie Kitchens. I think he's a pretty good guy. And I said that, and I just know that the first thing people are going to say if he loses a game, play calling is the first thing people bring up.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a snowball effect. We did this with Pat Shurmur the first year where he elected to call his own plays. He didn't have the talent that what Freddie Kitchens is supposed to have coming up here in 2019. So it didn't work out that well, and every single week it just became this big thing on why is he calling his own plays? He's got to bring in an offensive coordinator. And when he brought in Brad Childress, it was still too little too late, and then, of course, Haslam took over and was going to get his own head coach anyway.
Yeah. It's only the special ones are able to stand up there, be the head coach, and call all the plays. There's only a couple guys in the NFL that have longevity at being successful at being able to do that. So this is an enormous weight on him as a first-time coach, a guy who was just a running back coach a little bit ago. Now he's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Now you're asking him to call the plays, run the whole organization. It's a lot. Now, can it be done? Absolutely. But it's yet to be determined.
In turn, though, they do put a lot on the shoulders, because I thought, you know, people kept saying, well, I trust in John Dorsey. I think you really need to trust in Baker Mayfield here, because I think if Freddie Kitchens was with basically any other quarterback at that time, they wouldn't have had the success. In turn, Freddie Kitchens wouldn't be the head coach. I think this is where this is going well with Baker. We got to keep this thing going well. And then I think for Baker, it's like, okay, well, you're obviously going to have a lot to do with this offense in your own right. as a quarterback here, making checkdowns, recognizing pre-snap, what's going on here. So that's going to be a lot to throw at a guy who's just going into his second year and technically hasn't played a full season yet.
Yes, it is. But I think Baker can handle it. That's what he wants. That's the type of load that a guy like Baker Mayfield wants to carry on his shoulders. So, I think he's all for that. And then if you really believe that this guy's as talented as we think he is, he should be able to do that. If the defense is in a better coverage, then you have to be able to change the play and get your offense in the best situation for the best play. That's not asking a lot of an NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. He should definitely be able to handle that.
All right, Jonathan Wells in studio with us. You obviously playing in college in the NFL. You've played for a number of position coaches, coordinators, head coaches. I'm curious from you, could you tell as a player at all who had the juice, who had what it took to eventually maybe be that guy, or guys, could you tell guys that accelerated later on? Because I always wonder about that. It's one thing for Freddie, certainly, to be that coordinator, be that position group guy, which he was for a long time, then call the plays at the end of the year, now being a head coach. We've seen a lot of guys in the NFL that have been coordinators, and then we learned after they were head coach, you know what, they're probably better off as just coordinators.
I think the NFL, man, is all about longevity and being around because, you know, I played for some guy where I didn't play for them, but they were on the staff, and now they're becoming head coaches. I can't honestly sit here and say, like, oh, I knew he was going to be a head coach. Mel Tucker, for instance, yeah, who was a defensive back coach at Ohio State. Now he's worked his way up, you know, defensive coordinator for Georgia. Now he's the head coach of Colorado. Can I say that I knew Mel would be a head coach? No. Vic Fangio, who was my defensive coordinator down in Houston for 4 years. Honestly, I never even probably had a conversation with Vic. Like, we don't talk to the defense. It's like, we passed him in the hallway. Hey, what's up? What's going on? Other than that, like, we don't just sit and chill with the defensive staff. So I can't say that I saw him becoming a head coach either. So I think it's just about being around. It's about the luck and the timing of the situation. I think Freddie Kitchens coming to Cleveland was the best situation he could have ever done. Coming here with the debacle, the coach is getting fired, and now he falls in a situation where he lands as the next head coach.
Everybody loves John Dorsey, and I love John Dorsey, and I think all the fans do. You brought something that's going to be an inconvenient thing to bring up, but it's got to be discussed. Lima, the pros and cons about the power that he has with this football team.
Yeah, well, I think this is very fascinating, especially considering what happened in Kansas City. I dug up some articles because I know they were in cap hell, mm-hmm. but some of the writers there in Kansas City said the reason John Dorsey's out is not because of the cap hell. It's because eventually there was a bit of a power struggle between him and Andy Reid. Andy Reid ends up winning the power struggle. Andy Reid is obviously still there, and they're having a great year. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. When it comes to the Browns fans like me, we were welcoming
yes,
John Dorsey taking over and taking the power away from the owner. But now the question starts to become, if he was the one picking the staff, which Aditi Kikabwala reported that yesterday, although there have been some other reports to the contrary, Charles Robinson had one, if it was John Dorsey who picked the coach, who picks the assistant, and you remember last year, according to reports, it was John Dorsey and the organization that stood by the decision to sit Baker Mayfield to start out.
Exactly.
Will he be dictating? What will he be dictating with this team?
Well, I don't think it's a dictatorship. Only thing you can do as a GM is go out and draft the player. Now, he can draft the players he wants, but when it comes down to the X's and O's, John Dorsey's not in there with the players. These guys are spending 99% of the time with their offensive coaches. So I don't think he can dictate. He made his decision, and now he has to sleep in that bed. I don't think he has an opportunity to go in here and say, oh, you're going to do this, do that, do that.
Sure.
No. Freddie Kitchens has the helm. He's going to put in his system, put in his coaches, and now you just have to wait and see if you made the right decision, and that's it.
Well, put it this way. If John Dorsey ended up hiring in Freddie Kitchens, say Freddie Kitchens is the future Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we know about a guy like Bill Belichick? Eventually, Bill Belichick was like, nah, I'll take it from here on personnel.
Yeah, but he's got. But he. But
what if that? I mean, what if Freddie does well? What if Freddie wins? They go to the AFC Championship game two out of the next 3 years.
That's
and
a five
Freddie's
year.
Like, Freddie's like, it's my show now.
Yeah, that's a 5 year process minimum. He has to do so much for him to just be able to go in and take the reins over the GM. I just don't see that. I think that's a long process down the line.
Well, I'm fascinated by power structure. I really am, because if there's a pie chart of where the power goes,
it changes. No one way to do
it. But it can also change every year.
Oh, God, yeah. But you also think, because you remember, go back to the Eagles. Remember, they blew Joe Banner out of there, and then Howie Roseman basically takes over everything. Then Chip Kelly comes in.
Yeah.
They don't even fire Howie Roseman. They put him in a closet down the hallway. They fired Chip Kelly, and then Howie Roseman
comes back in,
takes it all back over again. And they've won a Super Bowl. So it's not like there's any one blueprint to do it. The way I...
What are you comfortable with, Ken? That's what I'm wondering
honestly,
with this team.
Because, and this is not the right way to go about it. My first inclination is to look at John Dorsey and go, this is a guy I trust, this is a guy who knows how to pick players. Mm. And he's had a couple of misses here, Kavari Russell and all that stuff.
Sure, they all do.
Yeah. I think that this is a guy I know how to trust to pick players. The cap thing might scare you a little bit, but you know what? When you're in the playoffs every year, how much of an argument is that, really?
Well, it becomes an argument if you can't get over the hump.
Yeah, but
now
you
you're saying
I,
you're missing certain players and you can't get them because you're in cap.
And you and I both remember, and Jonathan, you weren't with us at the time, when they hired John Dorsey, we had a couple of people because we had the Sashi Wars going on. There were people calling us up, and we were blowing people through the front
door. We had a lot of people
door.
That were critical. We loved it. Me and you loved
God,
it.
Oh, God, because we were like, oh, well, somehow they figured out a way to rub the shekels together to be able to bring in Sammy Watkins. How are they able to do that? So if you're making the playoffs every year, I can deal with your quote-unquote cap hell. And he also, you know, the trade up for Patrick Mahomes and the whole thing. My first inclination, though, is to look at it and go, man, this has just been a total out-and-out disaster. Basically, every way you turn, paved with good intentions, but people trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm comfortable in that case giving John Dorsey unlimited power and doing it that way. That's really not, but to compare it to a dumpster fire probably isn't the way to do it. I got to compare it to what other football teams are doing. And I'm sure there's going to be things. It feels like we're almost still in a honeymoon period with John Dorsey. There's going to be things that we question. If they go 8-8 this year, boy, you're going to question John Dorsey. And hiring Freddie Kitchens. 8-8?
Yeah.
If they don't make the playoffs, you're going to have some people who are upset.
Playoffs or bust?
I think so.
Wow.
I think so.
Now that the feeling to me,
wow.
And look, there's
we
media,
have all the
there's fans.
In the world in
I can
January
see that.
10th,
I can see that.
I think those players have playoff expectations.
Yeah, well, they should.
I think the coaches do. The fans certainly do. The fans think we're winning the division next year. And by the way, this is one of the rare times I think I might be in agreement with the fans. And it's not that I think Pittsburgh's going to fall off a cliff. I don't. I think Pittsburgh's still going to be decent next year.
Yeah.
And I still think Baltimore, their defense is going to be great. Lamar Jackson, year two in that kind of gimmicky system. Not going to be easy, but right now, not even knowing who they're going to take in the draft and in free agency, my guess is I will probably end up picking the Browns to win the division too.
Wow.
That's coming from me.
Nah, yeah, I could see that, especially after how everything played out this year. I could see fans being optimistic, but like I said, if this guy comes in and wins 9 games and doesn't make the playoffs, I think that'll be a great year from where this is still a building process.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an overnight thing. I really don't.
But if they go, if there's anything less than that, I think you're going to get some people who are pretty upset because right now we had Ian Eagle on yesterday who says sky's the limit. Like they could really compete next year. 216-578-0092. We'll get back to this also. News dump with Jeff Thomas coming up at 8. Mary Kay Cabot at 8:25. And there were a couple people right here at this station who were upset that we put a thank you to Greg Williams out there. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Tone, it's back.
What are you talking about?
They came to the agreement we will be able to watch playoff football this weekend. The full menu of playoff football will be at our disposal.
Nice.
Spectrum.
You get your WGN.
Spectrum and Fox, well, not Fox 8, but Tribune, have come to an agreement, and Fox 8's back up.
Well, in case you were wondering what's going to be on Sunday on WGN, now they're probably going to say nice things about WGN.
That you know what? That's a little weird. Because it did say in the thing where, hey, you're going to get WGN again. And I go, I know what you said about WGN.
Can't, no take backs here.
Those are your words, all not right. Mine, Spectrum.
Well, while Fox might have all the football games, WGN's got the trump card. They've got an 8-hour block of Cops.
Nice.
That is a
throwback,
time-honored tradition on my mother's side of the family is watching Cops.
Yeah.
Like, there's no jokes like, oh, we'll see some relatives. You would go over to my grandparents' house because Cops is always on some channel at all times.
Yeah.
And Cops was always on. Watching Cops.
Did your family feel it was biographical?
No, it was just interesting television to my mother. Again, that's the side of the family. My cousin down in Clemson, North Carolina, mm-hmm. or South Carolina, mm-hmm. has the Clemson girl down her leg. She has a tattoo, Jonathan, down her leg that says Clemson girl.
Well, she had to be thrilled.
She didn't even graduate high school.
That's stout. Stout.
Yeah, so that side of the family, they like cops. So I'm sure they're very happy to have WGN back, baby.
Now they flip the switch on cops. Everybody's watching WGN. Everybody loves it.
92.3 The Fan, by the way. Was this on our Facebook page? Was this on our Facebook, our Twitter? Okay. We posted something as a thank you to Greg Williams mm-hmm. for the wonderful work that he did. He wrote a very nice piece thanking Cleveland, the whole thing. It was a very nice thing that Greg Williams said. And The Fan, and you can find this at 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. See, it's just ingrained into me to do it. That we gave a thank you to Greg Williams. And I guess Bull, which he's not, I'm not going to attack him technically, even though technically I am. I guess he had some sort of diatribe on this, Anthony, a couple of nights ago.
I didn't hear it, but it does sound like something he would have a diatribe
about. He was upset about that we thank Greg Williams, that Greg Williams doesn't need to be thanked. Did you agree with him that we don't need to thank Greg Williams?
I guess you're talking to the wrong person. I don't know that I thank Greg Williams. I don't know
absolutely.
That I thank anybody ever.
I would. Absolutely.
I do think.
Have you
I
seen this
him.
Program before the last 8 weeks? Have you seen the organization?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Do you thank an interim coach?
Absolutely. Dude, do you know how this could have went the wrong way? If you put the wrong person in place in the middle of a season, you fire two offensive, a head coach and an offensive coordinator, this could have went really bad the last 8 games of the year.
He's going to be quiet over there because now he's going to feel like he's ganged up on.
No, it's fine. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Greg Williams just paid a lot of money to do that job. I still give Baker Mayfield most credit. Then it goes to Freddie Kitchens. It goes to Greg Williams. It's why I said Greg Williams never really had a shot at the job.
If Baker was that great, he should have been doing it before they made the switch.
He actually did. He beat Baltimore with Hugh Jackson as head coach and Todd Haley's offensive coordinator and threw for 350 yards in that game against the best defense in the NFL. He did that, and he didn't need Freddie Kitchens. He didn't need Greg Williams to be the head coach to do that.
So why was he stalling out after that? After that, you know it was going on a decline after that, right?
Well, part of it is I think he did get banged up in that San Diego game.
We're not going with injuries. We can't do that.
He couldn't move. He couldn't move after that. He got sacked. Look at the amount of times he got hit after that injury. Do you remember?
Was that the game he slipped on the sideline?
Yes, it is.
No, I'm not going with that.
No, Baker was never going to use that as an excuse, but I certainly would.
Greg Williams absolutely deserves credit for the turnaround
of the
Cleveland Browns. So it's the same thing. You're saying thank you. So what? Why wouldn't you?
Okay, fine. Thank you, Greg. Now, if you need any help packing in your 28th-ranked defensive scheme, then that's fine. I'll help you do that.
But it doesn't matter. He was over the whole football team. We're not talking about defensive coordinator.
So what was he responsible for at that point?
The whole team. He was the guy that they were looking to in the trenches. He was the head guy. If that's the case, we're not going to give any head coaches any credit? Is that what you're doing?
No, but I think it's pretty clear that Baker Mayfield being Baker Mayfield is why they won games.
All right, fine.
And by the way,
8-0-0-92, should we be thanking Greg Williams? I think we should. I do. Go ahead.
Okay, so, 5-3, that's fine. They beat the five teams that were reeling, or actually four teams. They got to play Cincinnati
twice.
Now
it's all about who we beat. You haven't beat anybody here.
But that's why John Dorsey didn't hire him.
Now it's about who we beat.
I think that's why John Dorsey didn't hire him. I think he was.
You didn't beat anyone forever.
I think he was evaluating him against other coaches.
Now you're going to discredit the wins?
Well, did they not have the talent? Did they have the talent to make the playoffs
this
year? Did they have the talent to make the playoffs this year? Yes or no?
No, I don't know.
They didn't.
I don't know.
Well, all of a sudden, you were the one telling me that
they should have made kicks. They should have made kicks. They shouldn't have fumbled the ball.
You told me the
refs
were
the players.
You told me the refs were to blame for the loss against the Raiders.
They did.
So they had the talent to make the playoffs. We all agree in here.
I think so.
That's fine.
We did not think so at the beginning.
Not in the beginning. Nobody called for the playoffs before the season.
We have 17 weeks of information. Do we have the talent to make the playoffs?
There is a different standing here.
The answer is yes.
Okay. Technically, you're right.
But like I said yesterday, though, 9 times out of 10, you lose a head coach and an offensive coordinator in the middle of the season.
I've been through this when you fire a coach. It's terrible. Everybody looking around like, okay, next year.
Yeah.
you don't get guys to step up and take their play to the next level. Greg Williams got that defense to step up to the next level and Baker. We're not going to just give Baker all the credit. No, that's what we're not going to do.
I mean, by the end of the year,
what Baker did either.
No, not at all. But we can't give him all the credit.
I think it's very hard to do the ranking, though.
It's not hard. I'd give Baker 90% of the credit, Freddie Kitchens 8%, Greg Williams about 2%. And I thank him for that 2%.
The head guy gets no credit. So Belichick is ditch water. He's terrible. Let me ask you. He's ditch water.
Hugh Jackson won 2 games and tied the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's ditch water.
How much credit should I give him?
Maybe 2%.
I gave him a lot of credit.
If your kickers make the kick,
I give him more credit.
At least you're being consistent. I'll give you that. I'll ask you, Ken, how much credit should I give? We never have done anything against the Steelers. But what did Hugh do? They tied him, okay, in the first game of the year.
I'm supposed to give credit for actually, a tie.
Why did they tie him? Because of what? Why did they tie him? Because of Greg Williams' defense creating what? 6 turnovers.
Yep. Okay, the offense did nothing. Can I blame what his defense did at the end of the year when they let Deshaun Watson run roughshod right?
He wasn't calling the plays, so blame Blake.
Okay, so you put him in Blake. You put him in to lose.
Blame Blake. He was not calling the defense during that game.
So how much credit do you give Hugh Jackson, if we're willing to give coaches credit, and Jonathan, you've already weighed in, how much credit, Ken, would you give him for the win over the Jets and the win over the Ravens, a playoff team? That was Hugh Jackson. Do we give him credit?
He's a head coach. He deserves credit.
Okay.
Is there a percentage that I give?
2.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Nah, because I'm a charitable person. I'll give you 3.
4.
Oh. I'll give him 3%. Okay. I'll give him 3% credit.
Tough crowd.
He's the head coach of the football team. I got to give the guy credit for winning a football game. If you want to talk about credit, I'll give.
You give him all the credit when they lose. I can't give none when we win.
We got a first round pick
who fumbles the ball in overtime, but Hugh gets the blame. But when we win, I get no credit. That's how that works.
I'm gonna make this a total spin zone. This is the all spin zone because here we go. I'll give Hugh Jackson more credit after he got fired than when he was actually the head coach of the football team.
Yeah, he motivated him.
Him going on national television.
Pulled all the right strings.
And saying, everybody else was at fault.
Right.
And him going to Mary Kay and saying, I would have drafted this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. That was a galvanizing factor. Freddie Kitchens basically indignant in that first press conference after Baker Mayfield had those comments there. Oh, yeah. I'll give him way more credit as a fired Browns head coach than I will as an actual acting head coach of the football
team. That's fair.
There we go. Hell, if you want to put him over Greg Williams, you can try to make that argument. Let's go to the phones.
No.
Brian, you're next up on the fan. Go ahead.
Jonathan Wells, I will pay you to punch Lyman in the face.
Hey, you might do that for free.
This is my road dog.
Take over his job.
No, that's not what I'm here to do. I thank these guys for the platform. Now, what's my point? Let's go.
No, I totally agree with you. I totally agree. It can't be all Baker. I mean, give me a – you saw what he did in the first couple – yeah, he beat the Ravens. But
yeah, the one playoff team, the one playoff win they have this year.
They scored
year,
like 12 points, by the way.
Okay, he threw for 350 yards.
There was a noticeable change when Hugh left and Greg Williams took over.
Come on.
A noticeable change. With everybody.
No brainer.
With everybody.
No brainer.
So come on, Lima.
What discipline. Come on.
You know what bothers me about the team this year? Because they should have made the playoffs looking now, knowing what we know now. What really bothers me about the team is that they said they had their best practice of the year the day after Hugh got fired. Well, that's on the players, and that has nothing to do with Greg. That's on the players.
It's leadership.
By the way, I didn't hear, Brian, any of the players vouch for Greg at the end of the year. I didn't hear one player say, we've got to bring him back and be the head coach.
Nobody's going to do that.
In fact, in the locker, right, because they don't want to play for him.
Nobody,
it
no,
has nothing
false.
To do
that's,
with him.
That's false.
They wanted him to move that's on, false. Him and his 28th ranked defense.
That's false. Big false.
Did you hang up on him?
I didn't hang up on him.
Okay.
No. Players are not going to come out like, let's keep. Nobody's going
to
do that.
Why? If they really wanted to be the head coach?
No. Did you hear anybody come out and say, we want Freddie Kitchens? No.
I think
no, you didn't.
Baker, read between the lines on Baker.
No,
the stuff that Baker
no read between the lines.
Hold on. I got to see it Lima's way here a little bit because we talked about Rex Ryan, and they were adamant when he was with the Jets the year before he got fired to keep him because they were 7-8. I brought up that Miami game, and they acted like they won the Super Bowl because they were keeping Rex. So you can vouch for a coach.
Nah.
Didn't they do that with Romeo down in Kansas City? That went to hell the year after. I don't know if that's a great example, but they did. I think they vouched for him. 216-578-0092. Mike in Garrettsville. Got to make it quick, but go ahead, Mike.
Morning, guys. I absolutely think you should have thanked Greg Williams. I mean,
Hugh Jackson threw a match on a whole bunch of gasoline. You want to talk about a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
As he's leaving, he's throwing that match out the window, and I think Greg did a good job coming in. I mean, you can't just blame the players for not making the playoffs or not practicing hard with Hugh. I mean, it's all about leadership, and I think Greg got in there, did a good job. Maybe he wasn't the vision they needed, and in this market, guys aren't going to put their backing behind somebody. I mean, they're going to wait to see what the organization does. That's just smart. I mean, as an employee, a lot of times we're not going to go out and vouch for somebody that we're not totally confident.
Man, Kyle, there's 53 guys on the roster. Not one guy said that's the guy on my
roster. Nobody's going to come out and say that. Unless you're blatantly asked that question, nobody's going to come out, especially when you know it's between two guys on the same staff. Why would I come out and say, I want Greg, and then Freddie gets the job, I'm looking crazy? I'm not going to do that.
I think it's an even bigger question.
Not going to do it.
How much credit Greg should get. 216-578-0092. I said when we come back, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyman, Jonathan Wells in studio. Your chance to win cold hard cash at 8:03 on the Fan. This is very weird.
Yeah. No, I think this is interesting
for me,
because
anyway,
a lot of us have totally different opinions on who should get credit for what happened. Fine, we'll thank Greg. He did 5-3. Browns never win. He actually retires as Browns head coach with the winningest record of any coach since 99. Right? Nobody's been better than that.
Probably you're right.
Probably the first one to do it with a winning record since Marty.
But see, this is where Jonathan and I always tend to disagree on these things. I always, and Ken, you know this, if we've gotten into fierce battles about coaches and quarterbacks, I always give the quarterback the most credit. But by the way, I made a point before the break about how we're all the players that were vouching for Greg, or, you know, kind of digging their heels in saying this is the guy we want. Here is the story from NFL.com on the Arizona Cardinals. Wideout Larry Fitzgerald once again in the spotlight. He prepares to play what might be his last game in the NFL. This is before Week 18. He said in a text to NFL.com, "We all want Coach back," said via text message. "We rally around him." Now, by the way, I think they got blown out of their last game. But he did say that they all want to play for him. "That's the team, not me alone speaking on it. I love Wilkes." And, of course, he ended up getting fired. I didn't hear any of that from the Browns when it came to Greg Williams. I know it's a different situation. I know this whole thing is in transition. But I just thought of the 53, one person would have said something. And I just didn't really hear that.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe so. Like I said, you got to give. Like, people are like, now they're telling me, "Well, you said it was all on the players." Like, listen. Everybody needs one another. You can't have one without the other. So we're not going to act like it's just all on the players or all on the coaches. I'm not saying Greg is blah, blah, blah. I'm saying he did a phenomenal job in the middle of a season, stepping in as an interim head coach for a franchise who has not won anything, zero games last year, to win 5 out of 8, and you can't even thank the man after you kick him out of the door. Why not? Just tell me why not.
What? I'm just trying to decide between the two here. I think I want to give Greg Williams credit. Greg Williams should deserve some credit. That thing could have went to a disastrous.
I agree. I thought it would too, by the way.
There were people who called us up. They were 2-5 when they fired. 2-5-1 when they fired you, right? There were people saying they weren't going to win another game.
Exactly.
They were going to finish 2-13-1. So there deserves to be some credit.
That's all I'm saying.
And he was seen basically, you remember that first press conference, you were terrified after it. It sounded like a sideshow, carnival piece, 11 coaching offers and 4 slips and whatever.
He toned that down second half of the year.
Which
sure.
He certainly did, because obviously they were winning games and he didn't need to be as boisterous. But I thought he did just a great job in motivation, rallying those guys, because a lot of these guys are young guys who are not from here. So anytime we start talking about the Browns, which is every day, anytime we start talking about it and the glory days, they don't know about the glory days.
Who does? When was this?
They don't know about
this. Was I born?
But for those guys, they don't know about it. They don't hear the ghost stories from their grandfathers. They don't care. Miles Garrett's
from
Arlington,
Texas. Are we talking 80s or 50s? Glory days.
Basically 50s and 60s and then 80s.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And then the good years with Bernie in the 80s. Miles Garrett's from Arlington, Texas. He don't know about that stuff. He don't care.
Baker doesn't care either.
Obviously, when you have a cocky, borderline arrogant quarterback that we all love, I love that about Baker. Well, you think he's getting some of that from? That's coming from Greg Williams, who's a cocky, borderline arrogant, who's telling his quarterback on a day-to-day basis, you be you. Don't give a damn about what nobody says. Go do you. Play loose. Let's go to work. You're hearing this every day.
He did a good job.
Come on. Greg Williams, stop it.
Greg Williams
you
did
don't
a
think
good
that
job.
He
now,
was.
Now, I think he did a good job.
This is an open. Now, this is still an open trial here because if Freddie Kitchens goes out there and, good God, they start off 1-3, boy, you'll definitely get some calls about Greg Williams then. I guarantee you that. You know how that's
yes,
going to work.
You will.
Yeah. We'll get calls about how they should have went outside the Browns, and then we'll get calls about they should have kept Greg Williams as the head coach.
Yep.
So the credit where that is, I don't think it's just that's it and that's all right now because he's no longer with the Browns. We'll go into this next year. And if they start off 4-0, you go how much did Greg Williams really
now,
do?
I'll
you could
say
always
this.
Do that. If Baker's like an MVP candidate by the end of September, you could always do that.
I think Baker's personal growth, I give credit for that to Freddie Kitchens. I do.
Okay.
I'll give him that because he spends all day with him. He's supposed to have that type of influence because you're the one who's talking to him about the game plan. I get all of that. I'm just talking about the mentality of an organization who was used to losing every close game. They found ways to lose. Greg Williams somehow flipped the switch, and they started winning those games that they used to lose. That's all I'm saying.
All right, the guy Greg Williams won a Super Bowl with, Sean Payton, I want to ask you before you get out of here, did something as a motivational tactic, and I always wonder just how much these things actually work, how effective they really are. So Sean Payton this week, you guys saw this, put like $250,000, which would be the share of playoff winnings and Super Bowl bonuses if you win the Super Bowl, and he put it under the Lombardi Trophy for all the players to see this week. Does something like that motivate you?
Yes.
Or if you're a veteran, are you kind of rolling your eyes?
No. If I'm a veteran, I'm looking at that because, listen, it's so hard to stay motivated on a day-to-day basis. This is a long season. So anytime you get a chance to just, you know, tweak it a little bit, you got to do it. So for the guys who are in there who are not veterans and they're looking at that $250,000, yeah, that means a lot. So, yeah, we're going to go out here and try to get this thing done. That doesn't mean they're going to get it done, but just that extra motivation. When I'm looking at $250,000, yeah, I need that.
Does
I need that.
Does really have a problem with that?
No,
everybody's
no, no.
motivated by money. Everybody
no,
in the world
not
is
a problem
motivated
at all.
By money.
And obviously, we know how they worked down there with Greg Williams back in
exactly.
the Bonnie Gates scandal.
And
yes, they were very motivated
guess
by
what,
money.
Guess what that mentality brought them? A Super Bowl championship. It brought them a ring that we haven't seen around here in about 70 years. So I love the mentality Greg Williams had standing in front of the team. I love it. So that just was my thing. But I'm cool with Freddie Kitchens. Let's see what he can do. I'm not
looking
mad.
Looking forward to it.
I'm not mad.
JW_Media Group. That's Jonathan Wells' Twitter account.
Thank you, sir. Man,
check
great to see
guy.
You guys, man.
It's wonderful to see you. This has been a hell of an hour, my friend.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.